Let us read from the Word of God what you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 13, the verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus far. Let us now try to ask for the Lord's indispensable blessing this morning hour. O Almighty, most sovereign and all-sufficient Lord, Thy hand of providence has brought us together in the house of prayer. We are together with a mourning widow who has lost her husband of so many years, grieving children and grandchildren. Lord, there are great-grandchildren, other family and friends, the congregation. Lord, also those who listen along, some from across the ocean. But Lord, may we now ask Thee that Thou Thyself would be in our midst. Lord, Thou hast brought us together around Thy word and testimony. May that word speak in this morning hour. Wilt Thou add the Spirit to that word to accompany it and give it that power divine? For unless it enters into our heart, it shall indeed testify against us. But Lord, then it is not profitable. But if Thou wilt make it a savor of life unto life, oh, then even from this death, dying shall be learned. We lay the widow before Thee, O God. Thou hast said in Thy word that Thou wilt relieve the fatherless and the widow. May she experience it in this heavy burden, in this difficult way, in this sorrow and affliction. O Lord, Thou hast upholden even in her old age, and when strength was growing so weary. But thou didst give what was needed until the very end. And now, Lord, while her husband is gone, we ask thee especially be with her, uphold her, and visit her soul with thy salvation. Lord, that remains the greatest need. And wilt thou then in that way especially come to comfort and to instruct her? Be with all the children, the grandchildren and other relatives. Lord, they also have seen father and grandfather, great-grandfather declining. And they stayed, they helped, they cared, Lord. May that also continue now that mother and grandmother remains alone. But that for each one of them, it may not only be a spur to seek thee, O Lord. May it be blessed by thy Spirit. For as we have seen one generation going, there is another generation present, and a generation keeps coming. And Lord, in that small time between the cradle and the grave, a wonder must take place. Oh, that that may then be the prophet of this day, that thou wilt prick sinners in the heart. And Lord, that is not only for the immediate family, that is also for further relatives, friends, for the congregation, for the tidings of death have again been said in the midst of us. And then it is today for this one and for another one, but one time it shall be that we must appear before thy judgment seat. Dying is meeting thee. And how can that be done? Lord, wilt thou then give a word in due season unto that end? Strengthen us, give us thy favor in our midst, in our hearts, and that our eyes may be up unto thee. Lord, pour in the balm of Gilead in the wounds of the heart, especially then with regard to the wounds on account of our sins. Lord, wilt thou then point to that only one who cares and who has died, shed his blood, and prepared an entrance into that everlasting kingdom for all thine inheritance here below? Though small and despised, though often from afar, so often perhaps with that father of the lunatic boy, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, look upon us, remember thy children. Give them yet a little food for the way, an encouragement and a comfort, that here below the weary journey one time shall end. And then it shall be glory. Oh, make us jealous if we miss it. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. And he died. That word is written so many times in Genesis 5. That is the fruit of our fall. And he died. The wages of sin is death. And those wages are still paid out day after day until the very last moment of this world. And he died. So it continued in the Old Testament. So it was in the New Testament, and so it is even until the present, also today. We must say unto us all, and he died. Family, you have become a mourning family. Frans Groeneveld, your husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather has died on the 19th of November, at the age of 84 years old, and he died. Oh, it shall be said of you and of me, congregation, family, and he and she has died. Widow, with your children, last night we spoke about it a little, that there is the fatherless and there is a widow, and that the Lord sustains, that the Lord upholds, that the Lord relieves. May he give you to experience it. Those are ways that I cannot talk about. But a widow loses her husband, and a husband loses his wife. And then it is alone. But may it now be that the Lord will give, that you are not alone. You are blessed with children, and many of your seed is surrounding you, and also those from far do love and care. But that husband, that protector, that savior is what you need for time and for eternity. He gave upholding strength, contrary perhaps to what we thought, since you became so very weary, but the Lord strengthened day after day and night after night. We wish for the family, for the congregation, that it may be a sanctified calling, but especially that the Lord will continue that upholding care, that he will be your helper. Maybe the helper of us all for time, but then especially for eternity. And he died, because there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. May it then please the Lord to come along in these days. May it please the Lord also to come along in this morning with his own word and testimony, a word of instruction. May it be a word of uncovering. May it be a word unto our salvation. You can find the text, the portion that we have read together, Matthew 13. And we read the verses 24 through 30. We will read again verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And another parable put he forth unto them. The parable that we read together is very similar to the previous one, that a sower went out to sow, and it fell on different places. But the Lord Jesus now speaks another parable, also true, but the purpose here is different. Because what do we read? Another parable put he forth unto them, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. That is a simple, plain example. No one needs to ask that this must be explained unto them. There is a field, there is an owner, and he made the field ready, and he goes out and he sows good seed in his field. But then the Lord Jesus follows it up with an other statement. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. It does not say a reproof, those men, that they slept because they had labored. A vineyard was watched over, not a field where grain was sowed. So they slept, and in the darkness of the night there came one whom is called an enemy, and he also sows. It says, tares among the wheat. And that was a false grain. And it looked very similar to the wheat. And when it would grow up, it was just as green. And it is hard to discern, but it is noxious. It is useless. And if you would eat much of it, it would be poisonous. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And what does that now mean? What does that now signify? Because the disciples were instructed by the Lord Jesus many months already. And now the Lord speaks this parable. And then the disciples are perplexed, especially by this parable. For we read later in that chapter, when the Lord had finished preaching and they were in the house, then the disciples came unto him and said, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field." What a lesson that is. If we do not understand it, then we must be kept from making our own explanation. And we must not be so ready to apply it to everyone except to ourselves. The disciples show the way. Going unto the Lord with all our cares, with all our perplexity, with all the questions that we have. And perhaps in the family too, there are those questions. Why? Why did he have to die now? Why not sometime longer? But with all those questions, we must go to his word. We must go to the Lord himself, just like the disciples has done. Because the word of God is light. But unless the Lord gives light in our heart, then we cannot properly understand it at all. And so the Savior instructs. And he does it so clearly. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." So that man who went to that field is the owner. And that is the Son of Man. That is the Lord Jesus himself. And he works. And he has a field. And in that field he sows his seed. And that is good seed. That is the wheat. And the Savior is in heaven now, yes, but he still has servants. He still has his ministers. And they must use that good seed, not tares, that good seed, and sow that in the midst of the congregation. The Lord said, "The field is the world." So in this world, there are certain fields, that is the visible church. And the Lord has given us such a field here. Your life long with your husband, you have been on such a field. And the Lord has been so good that he sowed that good seed also there. And then the good seed, the Lord Jesus says, they are the children of the kingdom. To put it very plainly, those are the converted people, the true heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Those are now the ones that the Bible calls the righteous, not in themselves, but they are the ones that have received that grace. They are the ones born again with a new heart. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So there are two kinds of people in the visible church. There are those who are converted, we said, but also those that are unconverted. Those who are heirs of the kingdom of darkness. Those who are not the true subjects of the Lord Jesus. They are the ones that are called wicked. And those tares are now sown in that same field. Oh, do you see how solemn it is when we gather together? Because some with grace and some without grace. And how is it now with you? And how is it now with me? The tares are the children of the wicked one and the enemy. That sowed those tares, that is the devil. And when did he sow these tares? In the night, when no one was watching. That is a sowing that is done under the cover of darkness. The devil does not come in the church and say, I come and sow error. I will now teach you what is wrong. No, that is under a cover. He does it stealthily. He is an angel of light, says the apostle. And he appears as a servant of God even. And it may be presented as if that is the truth. But he is the enemy, the adversary. And what does the devil want to do? Ruin, murder, lie, and deceive. It is no different. You see how sharp that separation is here in this parable. We read it then. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And what happens then after a while when that seed, wheat and tares, will begin to sprout and will begin to grow up? Because at first, who could now tell the difference? Who could now discern what was wheat and what were tares? You could not even see it because it was in the earth. There are two kinds of blades that grow up, the wheat, but also the tares. And they resemble each other. They also grow so closely together sometimes, so that underneath in the soil, these roots can even be not one, but they are mingled. They are, as it were, tangled together. But so it is in the visible church. There are some that are wheat, some that have grace, and some, is it not the majority we feel, that is without that grace, that does not have the right mercy of the Lord given in their heart, wheat and tares? And how can we now know the difference? You see that these servants then come, that when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So as they grew gradually, it became evident, and the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? They are so perplexed. They are alarmed. They say, how can that now be? Because we have sowed good seed. And congregation, God's servants must sow good seed, not tares. But yet it is the expectation that the tares will also grow up. Because the devil is always busy where the Lord is working. And then he sends one at night, stealthily, undercover, and the tares are also then sown. And so they have observed it, and they have come immediately to their master. They do not do anything on their own accord. They say, Master, instruct us, must we now gather them up? Now that is not easy. Think of a whole field with all these blades. You would have to go on your hands and knees and see if you can pluck out the tares and leave all the wheat. But they ask, and what does the Lord then say? We read it in verse 29. He says, nay, that is not what you must do. It is not as if their intention was wrong, but they could never do so properly without harming God's own children. And so he says, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also those that grow with them, the wheat that grows with them. Now, does that mean that the government, so to speak, must not arrest the evildoers and punish them? Of course. The Bible says that also. And must there not the office bearers admonish, reprove, and at times use discipline? Oh, yes. Then it has to be very evident, and they must do so. But the Lord is teaching us, teaching his children, teaching his servants, that those two kinds of people are in church, and we cannot always discern whether they are wheat or tares. We do not know the heart. We must know the fruits. And only the tree is known by the fruits, that is sure. But there are many cases that we cannot discern that so clearly. What is now in the heart? And must we then start pulling those apart? And what would happen to the wheat? Oh, some of that wheat would be rooted up. Then God's children, especially the concerned, the small, they might be harmed. They might be cast down. They may receive damage, so to speak, to put it in very plain terms. It's also possible that in doing so, you would perhaps pull on something that is wheat, and that you leave the tares alone. And therefore the Lord says, in the end, the judgment is mine. That does not mean that we have to say this is wheat and that is a tare. No, the judgment then, the Lord says, is mine. You read it here in verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest time. Is that now not wise instruction? Let both grow together. So it happens in the visible church. So it will be until the end of the ages. There is wheat and there is tare. They both grow together. And the Lord says, leave them until the harvest. And the harvest is the judgment time. Because we read that. The Lord Jesus said it. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. When we die, it is the end of the world for us personally. And then our soul shall stand before God. And he judges rightly. And the end of the world, that is at the time of the great judgment. Then the Lord says, especially the reapers, my angels, they shall go forth. You see what the Lord does. He says, my servants, my children, be not in the first place busy trying to separate the wheat and the tares, but be faithful in your labors. But examine now for your own heart, how is the case, my soul, with thee? Because the end is coming. You saw it early Wednesday morning. The end is coming for you and for me, and the end of the world is also coming. That judgment will be coming, and then the reapers, the angels, will go out. And what does it say? Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them. What else is this but the gathering of all those that are wicked and without grace? And then to be cast into that fire that never shall be quenched. O children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, that is the one sight. And that is not to frighten, but to warn, to alarm, that we may learn what is our portion if we are but a tear. And if no heart renewing grace has taken place in our heart, is that not a doctrine wherein your father and your mother have tried to instruct you and leave you and bring you on that proper field? There are tares, and they shall bound in bundles, and they will be burned. So shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. If we are unconverted, then we are offenders. We offend the Lord and provoke him. We offend God's children. And then we do iniquity, and we shall be cast into that furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus does not leave it at this. And also this morning he comes with the very opposite to show that great grace, that glory, that blessedness that is now reserved for God's own children. And then the case is so personal. Do we belong to the wheat or do we belong to the tares? What do we read? Gather the wheat into my barn. Do we not read it of Abram in the parable that the angel came and took his soul and brought it into Abram's bosom? That poor man was brought there. That is now that gathering the wheat into the barn. And so we read it here. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That blessedness is beyond compare. That blessedness is so great. And where does that blessedness now come from but from God alone? And how can it be? Because of myself, there is nothing that can be pleasing to the Lord. No, but that Son of Man came, remember. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And then he comes and he plants that good seed in our hearts. And those people have to experience continually how many tares are growing in my heart also. But the Lord in the end shall make that separation. And all what is sin and all what is iniquity shall be done away. And then those wheat plants, perhaps they bear not fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold, perhaps even small. It does not matter. As long as we are a tear with that grace in our heart. And all then it is in that kingdom of the Father Does it not sound in our ears? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We need that grace in our hearts. We need the Lord to teach us. And that then, also from this dying in the family, so many children, so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that is a posterity. But we are all on the way to eternity. At baptism registration, we said it. To the three sets of parents and the other one also, of course. A time to be born and a time to die. And so it is. The time to die for your husband had come, appointed by God. We are born, but now that time to die shall also come for each one of us. And therefore the Lord says, hearken unto me, because here below the separation shall become evident. But the Lord knows the heart, and even those that are quiet in the land. On the other hand, those who seem to be important in the church, and then without grace, the Lord knows and the Lord discerns. The question is for us, for each one, that we must search ourselves. Can we do that? David says, Lord, search thou me and bring me in that right way if there is a wicked way in me. And therefore, we shall surely go to the cemetery, widow, mourning family and congregation. May the Lord be pleased to take this parable and to bring it in our heart, that we search out how it is in my soul. Lord, which of the two do I belong? You know what the end is of the tares. Forever. Forever separated in that fire. But hear then also what is reserved for those blessed wheat blades. That is grace. And that shall be everlasting glory. Oh, that for each one of us, that may be our aiming. And say, Lord, thou art still sowing the seed. Also this morning, let no enemy sow tares in my heart. Convert me and give me thy grace. May the Lord then add his blessing. Let us close and pray. Merciful and gracious Lord, apply thou the truth unto our hearts. Once again we bring before thee the widow and all the family, each and every one. Lord, remember us in grace and strengthen us, and that for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. The congregation, we were asked also to speak a few words in Dutch. Some that are present here and some are listening in the Netherlands. De familie, we hebben getracht te zeggen in het voorwoord dat er staat geschreven van het nageslacht van Adam en hij stierf. En dat is een boodschap die doorging en die doorgaat tot het einde van de eeuwen toe. En hij stierf. Dat geldt u, dat geldt mij. We hebben in het kort geprobeerd te spreken over die gelijkenis van het tarwe en van het onkruid. En de zoon des mensen zelf met zijn knechten die zaait dat tarwe, die tarwe. En die tarwe die gaat op een gegeven moment groeien. Maar wat was er nu eerder gebeurd? In de nacht, toen alle sliepen, toen kwam de vijand. Toen kwam de duivel en die heeft zijn hand langers en die zaai in dat onkruid. Het lijkt wel veel op die tarwe, maar het is onkruid, gevaarlijk. Het is waardeloos. En als je te veel van eet, dan is het nog vergiftig en dodelijk. En als dat dan geleidelijk openbaar komt, dan gaan de knechten naar de meester en zeggen: meester, u hebt toch goed zaad gezaaid? Ja. En van waar is dan dit onkruid? En dan gaat de Heer het zelf aan zijn discipelen verklaren. Dat nu dat veld, dat is de kerk, de wereld, hier beneden. En in die kerk twee soorten mensen. Met genade, zonder genade, bekeerd en onbekeerd. En dan moeten we de rechtvaardigen zeggen dat het wel zal gaan. En tegen de goddelozen dat het eeuwig wee zal wezen. En dan gaan die knechten vragen of ze het moeten uitzoeken. De Heer zegt nee. Dan moet je laten staan tot de oogst. Want als je nu gaat trekken, een mens is zo dwaas. Een mens kan niet de harte kennen ten diepste. En zo, dan kan het gebeuren dat we zouden proberen dat onkruid eruit te trekken. En dan gaat het graan soms mee. Dan wordt dat ook eruit getrokken. De Heere zegt, laat dat maar staan. Dat is iets wat ik moet doen. En in de dag der dagen, in de grote oogst, dan gaan de engelen uit en die moeten alles verzamelen. En die zullen al dat onkruid verzamelen en in het eeuwige vuur werpen. Maar ze zullen ook verzamelen degene die nu de tarwe zijn. Gods volk, in alle strijd, in alle moeite, o, verdrukt soms door al dat onkruid. Maar de Heere die zal ze thuis brengen in de eeuwige heerlijkheid. En daarom, dat is in korte boodschap, dat we voor onszelf moeten onderzoeken, zijn we nu tarwe of zijn we nu onkruid. Het is één van twee. En dat dit dan de vrucht mag wezen hier in Canada, maar ook in het oude vaderland, dat er nog mochten zijn die slag naar binnen zouden krijgen. Heren, onkruid, onkruid, onkruid. Maar wilt u nu die tarwe zaaien in mijn hart, dan kan er uit sterven geleerd worden. En dan kan ook deze weg van beproeving en verdrukking en rouw en verdriet nog profijtelijk worden voor de eeuwigheid tot dusver. Nu vragen we of de begrafenisondernemer zijn werk verder zal verrichten. We ask the funeral director to give us further instructions.
Family and friends, then the moment has come that we will put the body of Frans Groeneveld into the bosom of the earth. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower withereth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. And that word of God we will read from Psalm 73, the last verses. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Widow, and also more family, friends, as we have heard from God's word, in church already. There is its separation. That is here on earth. And then in eternity it shall be forever. Experience the same, a child of, but he was in a wrong place. He saw the wicked prosper, and he had adversity. But then he became a great beast before God, undeserving of anything. And then that faith breaks through. He, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And then thou shalt afterward receive me to glory. And then you hear him singing, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. We are in the land of the living still, but that is now the portion of God's children. That is now the only portion that shall abide forever. He says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then God's children also shall die, and their bodies shall be brought into the grave. It shall be sown, but once that general resurrection shall come, as Daniel prophesied, and there will be some unto everlasting, and some to everlasting glory. It is one of the two. And then Asaph warns against it. Lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. All they that wander from the Lord shall perish in their misery, and that eternally, young and old, that we may take it to heart. It is each one of us that is on the way to eternity. And is it then well? Do we belong to the wheat, or do we belong to the tares? And then Asaph is given that grace. And may that now make us jealous, old. May it be an encouragement. May it be a comfort for God's children, that their hope is revived and strengthened. For what does he now say? It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy ways. Then God's children are brought to God in eternity. They are brought to God here upon this earth as lost and undone sinners, having no hope in the world. They know themselves as those wanderers away from God. And then they will have to perish, but God looks for them, draws them near unto him, and saves them with an everlasting salvation. Oh, then death here below is not the end for them. According to the soul they may begin the everlasting life already. And at the resurrection, that life eternal shall be body and shall be soul. Oh, could I but make you jealous? The sun is shining. We see the clouds in the sky. Do you ever look at those clouds, young and old, to see if the Savior is coming back? There is a people here below. They are not afraid. Oh, at times they're longing it through. It is good for me to draw near unto God, and to declare all the works of the Lord. That is here in the beginning. That is the one time eternally in heaven. Then no more death, then no more sin, no more affliction, no more sorrow, and no more tears. That is now the portion that is reserved for God's dear children. O widow and family, that is our sincere wish and prayer for you all. because that is the only comfort in life and in death, that I am not my own, but belong unto that faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He suffered, he died, in order to merit that life eternal. May that then be the prophet, may that then be the message that goes home to every one of us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When the Lord speaks by death, he is near. When he is near, all then call upon him. Children, very little children, beg the Lord for a new heart, and older ones likewise. Call on that God. He is good, he is merciful, and that mercy endureth forever. O sit ye him at length, and church here below, a pilgrim journey shall one time end. Then the weary night is past, and then we shall awake with him to view the glories that abide, and then, only then for sure and forever, out shall satisfy his close with prayer. Gracious and almighty Lord, we commend the widow, her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren unto thee, especially in this hour. We leave the dust behind, for dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But thou remainest ever the portion of thy people. Oh, that it may yet be the blessing that thou wilt give unto her, and to her loved ones, unto each one of us. Lord, keep us from sin and evil. Bring us all in safety. And give us yet to bow our knees and say, Lord, wilt thou draw me unto thee forever? Amen.
Is there someone to acknowledge?
A few words of thanks. Thanks to Reverend Verhoef and the consistory for all your pastoral care over the years, but especially the last few months. Also to many friends and family who visited and provided assistance. Thank you. Thanks to the Tallman Funeral Home for your kind compassion and help during this difficult time. To all the nurses, Dr. Lepp, PSW's passionate care staff, thank you to all for the compassion you have shown when taking care of our father. We appreciate it. Thanks to Tante Wilma, who gave herself wholeheartedly to take care of Dad, her brother, and assist Mom in grieving and going through all the difficult emotional stress. Dad was the oldest in the family, and she is the youngest. And they have all passed away except her and three sister-in-laws. Even though Tante Wilma's not here, we want to thank her for her unselfish love and what she has done for Dad and Mom and us children. Nick and Marion, Art and Tanya, Rob and Jen, Joyce, thanks for everything you have done to help Dad and Mom. Words would fail to express the magnitude of our love to Dad and Mom and the sorrow we feel at this time as brothers and sisters. Special thanks to Tanya for all of your help, especially with the nursing skills, the help with the caregivers, arranging coming home needs, hospice, meds, and the personal care help. And dear Mom, what shall we say? The Lord hath blessed you and Dad with 63 years of marriage, and now it has come to an end. May all of the love that you shared during these years, as well as the joys and griefs you experienced together, be a memory to cherish. Also, for us as children, we have enjoyed many good times and have been given together. You both and felt the love you had for all of us. The Lord can comfort, he has said in Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. May the Lord help you in this difficult path, as you are also becoming older. All of your children and grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren, will continue to support you. And to that end, a note to the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Thanks to you all for your help and being with Opa and Oma. Opa had dementia for quite a few years, but he also had many years of good health, and you were a testimony that when you visited or they came to your house. Opa's favorite psalter, who's 78, the tender love a father has for all his children. May you all seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on us, search the scriptures, for there you will find the words of eternal life.
Then this ends the committal service.